Welcome to Powerful at Work Radio, the podcast for business owners like you who value each person and desire to lead powerfully. I'm your host, Rosa Ponce de Leon, and it is my goal to help you secure your legacy and make a real impact by establishing a culture where all are empowered to be more creative and efficient without all the burnout and people issues. If you're ready to do things differently, tune in and join the movement. Now let's get after it. Hello and welcome to our first Powerful at Work radio show live and LinkedIn. If all is working well, we are currently being seen on my page in LinkedIn. And I want to welcome my special guest, Dana Kaplan. You're always going to bring all kinds of sunlight, even in the winter. So I'm excited. I did interview you once before for the show. It was not live at that time. And our conversation went so well that we just felt we needed to continue it. And so I'm happy to have you.
I'm really excited we're doing this again because I feel like a lot of our conversation needs to be heard on the repetitive and the way our brain works. The more we hear it, the more we do it.
And so we invite all of our listeners to comment in the chat. We are going to circle back and look. But today we're going to talk about structure. A lot of Dana's work has happened in the school system where she's revamped a lot of the way we do schooling. And in practice, we do need structure. We're not going to sit here and say there's not a home for it. But we do understand that we need order and we need to be organized and we need to have some type of expectation where everybody shows up on time and learns. But what she has done in the school system is uncovered ways to accomplish the same thing, but maybe not be so structured, maybe still recognize that there are individuals represented. There is people that we need to be mindful of their unique needs. And I work primarily in corporate in the workplace. I know you do too, Dana, so you'll speak to it. But sometimes we're too structured even in the workplace. We bring that with us in the way we mentor, in the way that we groom people for promotions, in the way that we set expectations for them to deliver for our year-end goals or for even our quarterly goals. We kind of lock people in a box. And maybe that's not bringing us the success that we want. We have this great resignation that everybody talks about where people are actually choosing to have a different type of workplace and choosing to be valued and rightly because we've done a disservice. So let me stop talking and let me let Dana chime in here.
No, I think you hit on a lot of really important points. When we think about, so for example, the new year, most of us had some sort of vacation, but regardless if you took it or not, you've had some time off at the end of 2021 leading into 2022. Mm-hmm. And last week, unless your space and place said, no, you're not coming into the office or you know, you're not coming into the school, we'll do everything remote. Most places are still opening up as if they went from break right back into rigidity. Mm-hmm. We're forgetting about the need to transition back into where we were. So it could be the need to transition back into a routine. It could be the need to transition back into the office, commuting, getting up from an alarm clock versus sleeping in the morning. And so there's a lot of variables that we have to remember to keep into account when we're choosing to evolve in a company and we're choosing to evolve as a collective and we're choosing to model for children all the options and opportunities that are available for them and for us simultaneously. So I think it's really important that while we're looking at the concept of restructuring, we're also really looking at the concept of what does it look like inside of me, right? What does the culture look inside of me? So I just actually led a workshop on creating your own compassionate culture. And when we think about culture, we obviously, I mean, the workplace is our immediate reaction to culture, right? Or systemically, globally, we think of like cultures around the world, but we don't actually think of our body itself as our own
totally.
Culture, right? We don't actually consider ourselves having mm-hmm. a culture. And so the more that we can actually stop and pause and check in internally with ourselves, the more we can radiate externally what we hope to be receiving from other people. And so the reason I bring that up is because it goes right back into the restructuring. What do I need to restructure for myself mm-hmm. so that I show up enthusiastically, so I show up ready to play, so I show up ready to listen, to learn, so I show up as a team member? Because the way that I had been was not creating a compassionate culture inside of me, and you're feeling it. People above me are feeling it and below me, my family's feeling it, like the whole collective mm-hmm. is. So it's really important when we think of the concept of restructuring, what is our purpose? What is our intention? And how can we create a sustainable sustainable restructuring that makes sense to all of us.
Yeah, everything we do has to start with ourselves, right? We got to be aligning with what we're putting out for our people in the workplace, whether we're at the top of the organization, anywhere in the organization. If our expectation is that we're taken care of as humans, we got to show up with our humanity and embrace the fact that maybe we do need a transition period, like you suggested. Maybe we don't need to hit the rat race right away when we come back. Maybe we need to accept the fact that we could slow into it and still hit our goals.
Yeah. And I think last week was really comical for me. I remember I started on January 4th and I looked at the clock and I was like, it's January 4th, 11 hours and 14 minutes in. And if every day is like this moment, I don't know how I'm going to be in a week. And so then I caught myself last weekend and I caught myself not looking at what day it was and not looking at what hour it was and not looking at the minute. And what it reminded me when I actually, quote unquote, literally woke up was, I'm pressurizing again. I'm putting myself back in that bucket of do, follow through. You've got to get this done now. What kind of check the box, get it done, and all these, the pressurizing components that we as a collective have learned for so many centuries. I did it to myself all over last weekend. And by the time Monday came, I was like, I need a vacation. It is only literally 1 week into the new year and I've already pressurized myself this much, but I didn't do it during the week. I only did it on the weekend when I didn't have a structure, when I didn't have a routine, when I didn't have people I had to see, right? And that's something we have to look at too. It's how do I feel having downtime? Mm-hmm. What do I do during my downtime?
Right.
Am I scared having downtime?
So true.
Because then I have to look at myself, right? So there's a lot of variables that I believe, and we talked about this before, during the pandemic, we needed to be calling this time physically distancing and socially gathering. And now more so than ever, we still have to physically distance and we must socially gather. How are we choosing to come together to support one another? How are we choosing to come together to elevate one another? And these are really essential questions moving into the new year, because this is your time to actually come to terms with the fact this pandemic is not going anywhere. It's going to sustain. It's no longer uncertain. We know it's here and we know it's not going anywhere. The uncertainty comes with the different variants that come about and, you know, how people are going to feel physically and emotionally around it. 2022 is your year to design, to cultivate, to create, to foster, to nourish all that you want.
And to enjoy doing it. And I want to go back to the point you're making about downtime, because I think we do sometimes, it becomes our identity to be on the grind. And when we're not hitting all our lists and we're not actively doing all the things, we feel like we're failing. We're like, someone's going to pass me up and we're looking left and right and you're thinking you're going to be left behind somehow. And nothing could be further from the truth, because taking downtime doesn't necessarily have to be a passive thing. It can be an intentional thing that you do and embrace it for what it is, in order to nurture your soul, your body, get in touch with what's happening and really being realistic about the fact that, you know, maybe I need some time to get in touch with my emotions around a certain area that I didn't know bothered me. And maybe this is a time to go back and revisit that and either make amends or have a conversation with someone. Like, there's nothing passive about that you have to do the deep work. And sometimes we wait till we have a mental crisis or we're in the midst of an anxiety attack before we actually seek help, when in reality, if we just reconcile the fact that we need that downtime in order for just regular maintenance, it would be so much healthier for everyone.
Absolutely. I recently wrote an article about how instead of waiting until we need mental health services, let's go ahead and create a mentally healthy environment within ourselves and within everywhere around us. And while to create a mentally healthy environment may look differently for myself versus you, and there's no wrong or right, good or bad, positive or negative, it's me actually taking the time to sit with myself to be like, you know what? I have got to work out. There's no way any medicine is ever going to help me relieve my anxiety that I experience unless I move my body. And that's my self-awareness, right? That's me getting down to the nitty-gritty of why am I not getting these projects done? Like, what is preventing me from moving ahead? What is preventing me from becoming the person that I have in my vision and to actualize all the things that I want to see happening in this world? And it's really important that we first acknowledge that sitting in silence can be scary. It can feel scary. Something easily, not that it's revisited, but something could have happened in your childhood and it still has an effect on you to sit still, to not talk. And when we think about, we all have people in our lives that have to fill the space when they're silent, always, because it's so uncomfortable within them.
Right.
And instead of criticizing them, instead of judging them, we get curious. Mm-hmm. Because when you're curious, you cannot judge.
Right.
Your mind is open. Your heart is open. Your soul is open. Like, all of you is open to learning about what's happening.
You know, hey, let me pause you right there, because you're talking about not judging, and that's a big one.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Powerful at Work Radio. If you're ready for more freedom from the day-to-day so you can properly rest, dream, and be more effective as a business owner, I want to invite you to our upcoming free training where I'm going to share my easy 5-part process for making sure your team feels truly seen, heard, and understood. For more details or to register for the training, visit rosaponceleon.com. There, you'll also find tons of resources for growing as a business owner so you can go all in on your team while they go all in on bringing your vision to life.
When we're structured to be a certain way, we totally judge ourselves. And that's what stops us from really enjoying those moments and from really being curious, because our mind can start to be curious as it naturally is. And we shut it down. We go, wait, no, you're a dead weight right now. Or no, you got to be doing something. That structure kicks in again. And I think when you finally let go and you accept the fact that you're human and you need this just as much as anything else, even you mentioning a workout to some people involves, I have to hit certain weights. I have to, like, it's gotta be this crazy thing. And otherwise it's not a workout. And you said it perfectly. Move your body, get out there and do something. Just walk or go do a nature exploration, something.
It is. I think, and it goes back full circle to not judging, but me honoring and collecting data as an observer around the pressure that I put on myself over last mm-hmm. weekend. My dream of dreams is to create an accessible space for everyone to feel authentic inclusivity and mm-hmm. equity mm-hmm. because we all belong. Right. We've just been told for some layer, some way, somehow that we didn't to some capacity, right? My passion, my purpose, the reason that this energy that is within me, that even when I don't think I have it, it's still there, it's because I want to create a space for children that we all deserve. It's our birthright. Mm-hmm. But if I cannot honor myself and shut down for the weekend, how can I actually actualize? Because I'm moving so much and I'm also not being the model that I want to be for those that I'm working with. So it's interesting, but, and I use that word intentionally, it's really interesting to get curious about yourself mm-hmm. because my sister has said this to me myriads of times, and she actually wrote it on like a little coaster and stuck it in a travel bag when we were traveling together. And she wrote, "Remember to speak to yourself the way you speak to me and the way you speak to the world."
Wow, that's powerful. Let's sit on that for a minute, because you're talking about visualizing yourself in the future too and allowing yourself to dream. And we talked about this downtime not being a passive thing. You can set intentions as to what you want to mm-hmm. get out of it. And the fact that you set the time aside alone just to do that and not be judging and just let it happen. When you can look at who you want to be 10 years from now and start thinking like that person, what would that Rosa say about my life right now? And how do I want to live right now that I can start taking small actions toward actually getting there and then manifesting, as you described, actualizing what is going to happen with a plan? It doesn't have to be this, I'm just going to let go and plans go out the window. But it's a nice marriage of both the flexibility, the adaptiveness, but also the intention. They can work together if we take the time to digest that in a downtime.
Absolutely. It's the marriage of the two. I love that you brought up the 10-year plan. We're all so quick on, like, what's going to happen in a year? What's going to happen in 5 years? What's going to happen in 10 years? And my coach actually does this brilliant experience with us when it's with our 85-year-old self. And that has been hard for me to experience, right? Because I'm like, I don't want to be 85 yet. I still have all the things I want to do.
It's scary.
But I say that in jest also because I see my 85-year-old self and these green sparkly pants that says, "Get up and go," with on a t-shirt, like on the back, it says, "Get up and wow. go." And I'm wearing something funky, like my pink headband, my hair is on top of my head, and I have on like the latest kicks, and I'm just going. And I say it in jest and I say it in seriousness, which is the marriage of the two. If we can get curious about what we really want to do and have the flexibility, the malleability, and knowing that there's not always going to be one way. And if you can have the vision with knowing that you have the flexibility along with getting to where you want to go, mm-hmm. that's the important piece. But you can never actually get there unless you sit quietly. You can never actually get to where you want to go because you're going to be having everyone else's voice and perspective and opinions all smashing through your own thoughts.
Right.
And our brain can only take in so right. much.
I love how we're wrapping up here, but I almost want to just say, let's continue this conversation even more. Am I safe to assume that you would do this again with us? Let's come back for another part of it. But today we're focused on the individual because honestly, we can't bring change to our workplace without first changing ourselves. And we got to do something different if we want a different result. And so if anything struck with you right now and you're hearing this and you're thinking that's the thing that I'm going to take and run with it, take action on, by all means, that's what makes us happy to be able to put this out in the space and trigger you to make the change and join us in this revamping of the workplace and revamping of the school system and all the things that we're passionate about. But ultimately, it comes down to a lot of us are frustrated with how life is happening, how the workplace is happening, how the school system is happening, and we don't know where to start. And it does start with ourselves. But just a sneak peek as to where I want to go in a future conversation is we do have people that are in leadership, people that have influence and maybe aren't in leadership positions that do create cultures that maybe aren't a fit for us. And we've been frustrated and rightly frustrated because it can be very limiting and ostracizing for people. And we have a lot of talk about inclusivity and diversity and we all believe it and understand that it's needed, but it's not panning out somehow. And a lot of it comes down to culture.
You're right.
Would you agree?
1,000%. It's all about culture. And again, though, full circle back to why we started today, because it starts within you. If you can actually become crystal clear on how you treat yourself, on how you feed your soul, on how you want to live your life, then you're creating a compassionate space for other people to join you. And when you are open, that compassion spreads. Right. So then the culture changes. And it's a collective desire, a collective sustainable choice. It is the collective decision,
right?
And you're exactly right. I can do all the work on my insides, but if my leaders are not aligned with what I believe or aligned with what I'm doing, then I have a whole philosophy around toxic money. Like, it's wonderful to have this big paycheck, but if I'm leaving work exhausted, thinking about my emotional budget, am I overflowing and can go run a marathon or am I exhausted going to bed and then continuing this cycle every single day? What is this money doing for me?
You're 100% right.
So it's really important.
And I want to emphasize, I've done work with individuals inside of toxic workplaces. It's very rewarding to have people kind of lose that baggage. And even if they're in that workplace, they become very attractive. They become a light to people that are suffering in the same way. And all of a sudden people kind of band together with you and they feel that you're a breath of fresh air. So I completely agree with you. But also if the decision needs to be made that you need to find a different home and a different source of income. But the key is to not bring your baggage with you. So get healthy.
Exactly.
Even in the place you're at, you can start getting healthy by applying some of the stuff. We barely touched on it today, but by applying some of the things we talked about and getting healthy, hopefully that's a message, the takeaway, getting healthy, getting alignment, getting right with ourselves, getting that culture that we need within ourselves first, then it becomes easier to select the proper culture where you belong. Because now you've taken the time. You can go to an interview and say, but what are you doing for me? It's not just I need this job. It's, is this the right fit for me truly? And do I need to put myself through another set of dysfunctions that I just left?
Oh, I love that you just brought that up. I just had a whole conversation with some kids actually out west that are being interviewed for middle school and high schools right now. And I said to them, you're interviewing them.
Yes.
The facilities are not just interviewing you. You are interviewing the school. Because your parents are paying for you to go to these schools. Mm-hmm. So you need to make sure that the schools are offering you every single thing that you want.
Yes.
And while you're obviously not paying for this job, you are paying for the job. If it is not filling your soul and the environment is not equitable to what you are believing in and aligned to, then you're going to get another job. And it's going to be even better. And you don't have to put yourself in all that stress and strain. And so I love that you brought that piece up, that you're asking questions when you're going inside to these jobs and you're asking, what is the company going to do for me? I know what I'm going to do for the company. I know exactly what I bring onto this table. And you need me. That's why you asked me to interview. Right. And so, and it's a really important piece to hold on to because we all are seeking belonging and it's our birthright. And I cannot drive that home enough. And so our birthright is to belong, is the fact that we do belong. So I belong at this table.
Absolutely.
Just as much as you belong receiving my questions about my interest in your company.
I want to emphasize that because your value is now no longer in your busyness, but in the fact that who you are is valuable. And you sitting at the table, you don't need to prove anything. you're valuable. And once you can get in alignment with that, it doesn't matter what table you're sitting on. You can be present and not feel anything. And by that, I mean, not feel like I need to run out of this room. You can be comfortable. You can feel like you belong.
Absolutely. And I love that there's so many things we talked about in like just such a short amount of time. I'm like, oh my God. So having ADHD, I'm like, this is like the best conversation ever.
We're all over.
That's the brilliance of this conversation is that there's so many nuggets that we keep talking about. And it's like, oh yeah, there's more. There's so much.
We're just scratching the surface. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have a replay of your compassionate culture training that you had, but if people are interested, maybe we could put a link or you can invite them to the next one. I know I have a training coming up for leaders. So tell us about yours first.
So I'm doing another one hopefully next week. And then my workshops are going to be starting soon. So I wouldn't call it a training. It's more of scratching the surface to understand what does a compassionate culture really mean. Because again, we think about culture and we think about business. We don't think about culture within ourselves. And so then I'm going to be doing workshops with adults on making the actual culture, building your own and creating that culture within you. So then it extends out in all spaces. So I'm really
super important.
To see where it's
super important for sure. So We'll put links in the comments where we have them. And for me, I want to invite any leaders who are interested in creating the proper workplace culture that is attentive to the needs of each person. If you're in leadership and you didn't know you're in the people business, let me tell you, you are. If your people are overwhelming you and you feel like you're inundated with people issues, whether it's basic relationship issues or just not getting the results you want, you need to go to this training. And it's completely free. I'm also going to put that in the comments. And we've had a lot of great feedback in the past as to the results that it brings the leader to the place where now you're supported by your team as opposed to being, I won't say dragged down, but certainly feeling like you can't take a day off. You feel like you're needed every day as opposed to having a team that's firing on all cylinders and says, Rosa, you need a day off. Off we got this.
That's amazing.
Of course. And Dana, thank you so much. Let me extend the invitation for another one of these and we'll certainly announce it and make sure that we can get some people to attend that want this and want to make the change.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Thank you, Dana.
Thanks for listening to Powerful at Work Radio. If you subscribe now, you're going to hear from some truly amazing guests who will help you shift into a new approach to leadership so you can develop a healthy relationship with your team and truly maximize your impact. We'll explore stories from experts who are daring to do work differently, and we want to invite you into the conversation. Hit the subscribe button on your podcast app. We're excited to help you lead a high-performance team with simple advice that you can start using right now for maximum results.